And into the hearts of men creeps a specter with great, great...
Well, what is it? Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Bring it up, Donnie.
Oh, I'm just wild about Harry. And Harry's wild about him. La da do dee 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 dee. La da do da do da dee 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 dee.
Oh, yes, of course. Times they are that way. Did you see the commercial that's on? Yeah, I think commercials, by the way, are probably much more indicative of any given moment in time than almost anything else. You never see Kojak, for example, mention the cost of cigars. Well, he smokes cigars. What kind of cigars does Kojak smoke? You don't know. Well, anybody who knows anything about cigars can immediately tell what he's smoking there. Sure. The world is full of ignoramuses. However, all right, what kind of lollipops does he eat? That's much more into your keeping there. Dumber. However, we would like to salute a commercial. There's an area. It's an area commercial. Now, that's not the same as a national commercial. It's an area commercial for this car, and it's a Thunderbird. In fact, it's a biggie. And the guy comes out, see, and he says, "Only for a limited time, if you come down to the showroom and buy your new Thunderbird from Ajax Whippoorwill Whoopee Motors. We will give you, along with your Thunderbird, only for a limited time, 10 1-pound cans of Maxwell House coffee." You mean you don't see the humor in that? I mean, coffee has gotten to be one of those incredible... You can't imagine a guy going down. He says, "You know, we're going to go down and buy this $7,000 Thunderbird." But I saw that commercial. And, gee, that's really, you know, that's a commercial they're going to want to see about 50 years from now. As a matter of fact, though, they'll probably be amazed with the way prices of coffee are going up. They would probably be amazed that they were giving coffee away for such a little thing as buying a $7,000 car. No, I'm predicting that. I'm working on my own private people's time capsule. You know, the time capsules they're always putting in. Of course, we've just gone through the bicentennial year. Hey, do you have a vague feeling that you missed out on the bicentennial year, that you personally did not celebrate it to the extent it should have been celebrated? You blew it. Do you really have that feeling? I mean, it's a terrible feeling. It's the only centennial any of us will ever know. I don't care how young you are. It's the only centennial you're going to know. And it's really a depressing thing to realize that here it is, the only one of your whole life, and you blew it. I mean, not only that, you had a whole year in which to blew it. If the centennial occurred at, say, 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday in mid-January, and you blew it, well, you have a reason for blowing it, but you had a whole year, and you blew it. Now, I don't know one guy who feels like, boy, did I really do it for the centennial. I got this red, white, and blue tie. Of course, unfortunately, with something as big as the centennial, you don't quite know how that you're supposed to not blow it. I mean, what do you do to celebrate the centennial? You know, the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to give you a belated chance to celebrate the bicentennial. Now, the only way you can really celebrate the bicentennial is to let future generations know that you were here and you were celebrating it, right? You ever thought of it that way? See, every man has this terrible urge to immortality. Now, most people don't, you know, they're not fool, unless you're a true health freak. Now, a true health fanatic really does believe that he is immortal. Most health fanatics really seriously believe that if they eat the right stuff and they do the right exercises, well, there's no reason why they shouldn't live 5, 6, maybe 10,000 years. I mean, I really believe this. And it's one of the saddest, most tragic of all human beliefs. But they do believe it, so we're not going to boggle them there. And of course, there are still people who believe that there is a flat earth, that the earth itself is not round, and this is just a lot of propaganda that the Italians put out to put over this guy Columbus on us. Yeah, there is a flat earth society. So if there's any conceivable dildock idea that's possible to conceive, there is a dedicated group that believes it. I mean, so there's no sense in arguing with them because it's almost usually quasi-religious even in their beliefs. So you can't, I never argue with a guy's religion. I mean, if he believes in salvation through wheat germ, okay. I raise my hand and say, Ave Sargon Molasses. Or whatever it is. I mean, I'd say that for his purpose, not for my purpose. See, I always agree with the other guy's religion. I always say to him, you know, I never thought of it that way. You know, it never really occurred to me. Not you mentioned it. There's a lot of logic in that. I'll bet there were, you know, never really thought of it as the earth being flat, you know? I mean, you know, they get you when you're a kid. When you're a little kid and they tell you it's round, and so by the time you're grown up, you really believe it without questioning it. Now that you mention it, it doesn't look so round. I'm looking over. I'm looking down to 48th Street there. And it looks absolutely. Look, there's no. What is this? Why didn't we believe it's round? Of course, by the time you leave this guy, he's walking 12 feet tall. He thinks you're the greatest guy to come along the pike since Johnny Carson hit the tube, you know? So I never disagree with the guy's religion. But that doesn't mean I believe in it either. What I have to do often, though, when I talk to somebody who, you know, a real wheat germ cuckoo, I tend to have to go and hide in the nearest phone booth and laugh till I can stop laughing, then I come out. But six of one, half of the other. And I'm going to give you, though, an opportunity to make a real attempt to become part of the posterity that we all wish to communicate with. You know, that's the basis of all art. The basis of almost all art has been an attempt to communicate with posterity on the part of the writer or the author or the guy that's painting, to let them know that he was here. Now, not many achieve it. In other words, there's not many 19th century novels that are read out of the millions that were written. And so it will be with our time. However, we are now preparing in a secret place our people's time capsule. And we're putting many things into this time capsule, and we've even selected what the capsule is going to be made of, Tony. You know, they always put a stainless steel capsule with the top that screws on. It's got a seal on it and all that stuff. Well, steel doesn't really last that long. You know that steel rusts. It corrodes, right? Yes, it does. It's a sad thing. So it has a finite life. What is it in our time that lasts longer than anything? Plain, old, simple, cheap plastic. Yeah. In other words, there are many scientists who feel that the one thing our society is really going to leave behind is a lot of plastic. I mean, a thousand years from now, people will be going out into the marshes, and they're going to be digging in the grubble, in the effluvia, and in the moss of the ruins of our civilization, looking for those plastic six-pack hole things, because they will be priceless objet d'art. Yes, they'll last. See, you have to explain that she never sees six packs. That one. Oh no, not maybe six packs of calorie-free yogurt, that kind of stuff. But we're talking about six packs that mean business, and so this is going to last. So what we have selected as our ideal time capsule is a true symbolic thing of our time anyway, a super size, 32 gallon size, super hefty trash bag. That will last, and it says garbage. And we have this beautiful, hefty trash bag. See, we're going to seal it up. We're going to take the plastic thing on the top and tie it together, and we're going to bury it in a secret place in New Jersey, which has not got its... Well, the reason is Jersey doesn't have its own time capsule. You know, Long Island has one. We're out there at the World's Fair site. Billy Rosen, the Westinghouse, and all these, you know, really important guys did this. But Jersey does not have any time capsule except the Jersey dumps. And that will be a time capsule, believe me. That you know the dumps when you drive out there and you see all that stuff? Do you realize how bananas a scientist of 1,000 years is going to go when he discovers that Jersey dump over there? That's going to be the greatest midden heap on the eastern seacoast. Midden. You know what a midden, that's a thing there with the thumb on it, you know, and you make snowballs with it. That's called a midden heap. Right. So, nevertheless, we're going to take this garbage bag, see, and we're going to bury it in a secret place. And we're going to bury it in such a way that it's not going to be discovered by your average coverage, you know, your average walking around kid's going to find it. It's going to be buried deep, and we're going to leave clues in many parts of New Jersey, like in libraries and that, as to where this can be found. And the scientists maybe eventually will get the clues and they go and dig it up. Now, what are we putting into it? Well, we're putting in some great things in it, the kind of stuff that really is indicative of our time. For example, we have a one-quart can sealed of 30-weight Citgo motor oil. Now, you say, why that? Well, don't you realize that in 200 years there won't be any oil? Oh, yes. Oil is, they claim that there is a 30-year supply of oil on the earth now. You mean you don't know this figure? You're not aware this is true? There's 30 years of oil left on the earth. And so we thought it would be a fantastic thing to put a can of oil. You know, and by the time these guys dig this up, let's say in 200 years, digging up that can of oil would be like us digging up 5 pounds of gold in the Pharaoh's tomb. It will be a priceless discovery. Now you're beginning to see the point. Yeah, I mean, a really priceless discovery. What else have we buried? Well, we have a 7-Up can. Now, it's not just every 7-Up can. It's the bicentennial celebratory pop art 7-Up can, which celebrates the bicentennial, salutes the state of New Jersey as the third state in the Union. And incidentally, on the side of this can, there are little dots sprinkled over the side. So if you take 50 7-Up cans and pile them up in a triangle, all 50 of them, each one for each state, these dots make a picture of Uncle Sam. Okay, that's going in our people's. Now that will be a really a mysterious object to find a 200. You know, remember we're hoping that our time capsule will be found no earlier than 500 years from now. So 500 years from now, to discover a 1-quart can of sealed 30-weight Citgo oil. That will be a priceless discovery. By the way, are you aware? No, wait, you're laughing. Are you aware that almost all civilizations are totally unaware of the temporary quality of the life they live? They really believe it's always going to be like this. And it would have astounded many people in ancient Egypt that we think gold is a very rare metal, because they had plenty of it then. And it was, let's face it, it was 4,000 years ago. And they could make gold. They could make gold caskets. They could make gold masks. So, yeah, it would never occur to them that gold would be this incredibly, unbelievably rare object. So what else is going to be rare? Well, we know that oil is going to be rare. It's already getting rarer now in the world. What else would you think? Well, I'll tell you another thing that's going to be rare. We're putting in a 2-pound can of A&P Ann Page ground coffee. And it's going to be sealed up. So it's going to last, see? And we're going to put it in this hefty garbage bag. Now, well, of course, this plastic bag is going to outlast any marble. Now, well, of course it will. Plastic does outlast marble. It's impervious to anything. Now, now, what else have I put in there? Well, we got one of the greatest ones that we've got. We have, because you know who never gets into any any really official time capsule are the losers of the world. They're never mentioned. If you notice, if you know anything about time capsules, they're always about winners. They put in a film of a president giving a speech, or there's a film of some guy laying the cornerstone to the UN building or something like that. These are all winners. But are the losers ever mentioned? Come on, get with the show here, you two. Come on, gang. Have to interrupt you here now. There are not many more left. You might as well enjoy them. This is WOR New York. Oh, they won't know what McDonald's is. No, they won't. You see, you got to understand. See, that's something that I have to point out to you. When you're thinking in terms of putting something in a time capsule, you have to realize that some things are so temporary that they will be double meaningless when they arrive. In short, the McDonald's, there's no way. I would suggest, however, that what we ought to do, really, is we ought to take a genuine New Jersey, all the way, anchovies included, and all the way, double ding-dong, completely, totally consummated, all the way, with the works, pizza from Jersey. A big 34-inch one, you know, the big kind, see? Now, what we have to do with that, if we want it to last, we're going to have to take it down to the International Petrifaction Corporation. There's a place that will petrify anything you want to have petrified. So if you'd like to take your Uncle Fred down there, you can have him petrified if you'd like. Although he's probably already petrified if he's your uncle, especially on a Saturday night. However, we'll get this thing petrified, see, and have it sealed so that the beautiful colors of a New Jersey pizza are yes, they'll come out and leap out there at them, see, and there'll be mushrooms and anchovies and there'll be mozzarella and the whole works, see. And we'll have to leave a little bronze plaque on it, and it will say, this was one of the things, one among many of the myriad of junk foods that was consumed in great quantities by the residents of this area in the 20th century. They would love it. Wouldn't you love to have an actual petrified piece of food that some Roman sat down to in the year 400 B.C.? Yes, it would be fascinating to know what it was he was about to eat. I mean, but none of that stuff survives. So we have to really work at it, make it survive. And, of course, I'm also going to include a collection of television commercials. Well, not because they won't be funny to the people of the future. And you know why? Because they will be truthful. Do you realize that a guy 1,000 years from now looking at a commercial for a Pinto, we'll say, he's going to be looking at something that obviously will have not existed for many, many centuries. And it will probably, none of them will exist by then. Maybe a few reconstructed in a museum. But to actually see a person driving one and standing next to them, it's fantastic. Well, can you imagine a film, looking at a film right now of a guy that built chariots outside of Pompeii, and he's hawking them? He's selling them, you know. There is his chariots, and here's an actual charioteer. He roars by with the smoke and the horses whinnying and the lances flying, and he comes out and he says in Latin, in hoc agricola conc in espitulo cipo. He has just told, he's sold you his, that would be a fantastic film. In other words, to look at a chariot as it's actually doing what it does, being driven by an actual charioteer. Not by Charlton Heston. What else would you like to see in this thing? I mean, it's really important that we have a few. I'll tell you, now listen to me, both of you, for a minute. Now, you're in there chattering endlessly. Just listen for a while. What I submit to you is that almost everything that is preserved by any society is very self-conscious. And the society wants to put its best foot forward. It wants to, you know, always in the future. And it always preserves winners. So, there will be a film of a president giving a speech. Now, what could be more of a winner in our society than a president? You know, or there will be a mayor. He'll be standing there laying the cornerstone of this big building. But there's never any losers. All right, we're now going to preserve some of the losers of our time. Now, there's a valid reason for this. You know that that one of the great studies that antiquarians have recently embarked on is to try to reconstruct what the life of an average Athenian was like. Not one of the guys that hung around down there and listened to Socrates, you know, not one of the ones that wrote the plays, and not the king, and not the Electra and Orestes and all the great people of literature. But what about the poor Yahoo who came down and swept up the theater after the play, after the opening night of Electra, and all the elegant people had filed out? What kind of a life did this guy have? Well, writers of the period never even recorded it. They never recorded it. So the antiquarian has a hell of a time trying to put together what the daily life of, let's say, an ordinary walking around Roman was like. You know, the one who didn't go to Egypt to have this thing with Cleopatra. In short, you know, when you see the movies, you know, and you see Caesar up there, he's being played by Rex Harrison or John Gielgud or somebody, you know, and he's always looking down from the steps of this fantastic palace right in the middle of Rome, and you see this great parade coming up, and it's who is it? It's usually somebody like in the early days it was Claudette Colbert, then it's Elizabeth Taylor, whoever's playing Cleopatra, you know, you see this whole big thing, and you see this great big crowd, you know, they're all out there watching. See, nobody knows what the life was like of one of those guys in the crowd. No, what was it like? I mean, what did he do when he went home from work? No, it wasn't bad, not necessarily. You're making that's a value judgment. Why do you say that? You don't know. The point is nobody knows. They just don't know. Now there are a lot of so-called educated guesses, but we want to correct that. For example, we are going to put into our hefty garbage bag of history, we're going to put in there, among others, I have received from one of the listeners a great tribute to losing. Listen to this. He sent me 5 tote board tickets. Now, wait a minute. There are millions of tote board tickets. You'll explain that to her. She's a very innocent person. You better explain it to her. He sent me 5 of them. Now, wait, you don't know, this is not, it's not enough just to have a ticket on a losing race. That doesn't mean anything. But what did he send me? He sent me 4 tickets of races that were raced at Rockingham Park, Atlantic City, and one at Monmouth Park, but all for the years 1962 and 63, which he kept in his wallet. Each one of them was a show ticket. Now, that's a true loser. A show ticket means that if your horse comes into any one of the top 3 positions in the race, you're going to get something. He managed to lose. 2 of them, by the way, in races in which there were only 4 horses. It's not easy to bet on the one horse that's going to come in 4th. I mean, so he sent me these tickets. He says, Shepherd, he says, I've been treasuring these tickets because they say so much about my life. They say a great deal about my life, and I wanted somebody to have these tickets that would honor them for what they are. And so these are going into my great hefty garbage bag of time. And I can see 200 years from now, do you realize that a show ticket on the 4th race at Atlantic City in 1962, August the 3rd, it's probably the only one in existence today. Now. That's darn right, it's right. I mean, it's easy to get aqueduct tickets. This was Atlantic City. In other words, he was betting for starters on skates. So, all right, what else have we got in there? Well, we've got some good things. For example, we have a collection of 1976 obscene Valentines. Well, because the obscene Valentine, you know the kind of, you know that you've seen these really bad news, bad taste Valentines. These were all purchased, incidentally, at elegant stores in Manhattan, including Bloomingdale's. So you, we're including this in a special plastic package so they will know what the average really walking around taste of the average person was in our time. Now, not many people are going to... Oh, this is going to be a priceless thing to dig up 500 years from now. What else do we have in there? Well, I'll tell you what we have. We have, among other things, we have taken a salute towards the button craze of the last couple of years. And one of the great buttons we have... See, the button, at first, was sort of a fun thing. Then it later became a promotional gimmick. And then further out, it became a merchandising gimmick. So we have a button that was... sent to us by a person who wants to become immortal, of course, by having his button in his thing. It was a button which he got in a 1967 convention of nurserymen and gardeners. And the button said, "I have met Miss Clogaway." Well, I don't know what it is either. That's what makes it important. And he said he didn't know either, in spite of the fact that he obviously met her, or else he wouldn't have had the button. So it says, "I met Miss Clogaway, 1968, and it was at the Steel Pier." So that button is going into our... You know, everybody collects presidential buttons, but there ain't nobody's got a button that says, "I met Miss Clogaway." And so the complexity of our civilization is another thing that we're attempting to keep complete. We're also putting in there this guy. By the way, this guy, one of our listeners sent me one. He says he sent me a Japanese weather radio. All it gets is the weather. You know this little type. See, there's only one important thing to be known about this. We're the first society that has made weather a major concern. We talk about it endlessly. They didn't in Egypt. We talk about it constantly. He says it's very symbolic of our time, talking about weather. But the most important part of this weather clock, this weather radio he's got, is that it does not work because it was washed away in the Jersey floods of 73. He says the damn thing didn't warn him of the flood in time, in spite of the fact he had a weather radio. Oh, and I'll tell you another. We've got another great one, I think, that we're very proud of in our time capsule. We've got hundreds of items, and I'm just running over them. If you would like to submit one, be sure to let us know fast. Just drop a note about what item that you think should go in, and we'll see that it gets in. Now, some of these I've saved to last. For example, one guy sent me a program, and it was an illustrated program. A 1976 convention in San Francisco that he attended. A convention of gay art pornography. So he says they're going to want to know about this aspect of our time. It's a very elevated time. So he sent me this program, and it's beautiful. It's just embossed. It's got three-dimensional pictures. You know, you use these stereoptic and glasses on it, and it's really quite a tasty program. And it's going into our little garbage bag, our hefty bag of time. So on that hefty bag note, we say, stand up on your toes real high, flex your knees, look off to the east, and you may see Montauk. Bring it up.
What is